This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging out here till 12 o'clock. You listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just had Sal Capaccio on talking really kind of the recap of the week for the NFL league meetings, NFL owners meetings, however you want to put it. And yeah, I without a doubt, my favorite thing has been the change to the kickoffs.
Yeah, and
without a doubt.
And yesterday I was not a proponent for it, but now I am, if only because now I can see the disrespect factor. Well, that has sold me alone for your trash. Oh, you have Mason Rudolph at quarterback, Pittsburgh? All right.
Touchback. Take it to 35. Cool.
Take it to 35. I dare you. I double dare you.
We were talking in the break, too. Like, I think that is going to be
something.
New Orleans.
Oh, am I scared of you?
Derek no. Carr. But it's going to be something like in the middle of the season. It'll be cool to look at, like, all right, who has faced the most touchbacks? Who's their quarterback? What's their offensive numbers? Like, where do
is
they rank in the league?
Is it working for them?
Yeah. And I want to see that, like, if you have, like, a middling quarterback, but that 5 yards. And we talked with Sal, where all of a sudden teams are going to be more willing to go for fourth downs. They're closer to field goal range, stuff like that. Did it actively help you, even if you have, quote unquote, a bad quarterback, middling quarterback, what have you? I'm so curious into that.
I cannot wait for, we are interesting, like the kickoffs rule is interesting and it's different again. I can't wait for coaches to be like, nah.
That is a possibility.
That is 100% a possibility.
It is a possibility. Why? Because in any sport, if there's an opportunity to, coaches take the fun out of something.
Well,
I've watched too much hockey in my life to realize that coaches will take something fun and kill it.
Especially, though, if kick returns do become a major factor in the league again.
Yes.
What do coaches hate giving up more than anything?
Big plays. Oh, my God.
So if they're sitting there going, we'll take it to 35 as long as it's not a big play, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And so that is, yeah, my only fear is that it works too well and kick returns do have a big pop off because it'll last like 3 weeks. It'll be super fun.
And then coaches will
and
be like,
go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only fear is that it works too well.
Yes.
And that's what happens. Teams are preparing for it. And that's also something, too, that, like, let's say, you know, because I really was a big fan of Brandon Codrington last year. I thought he had something to that kickoff return unit that really, the Bills had a bad special teams unit last year. He was a shining beacon.
He was
to that.
Kind of the only bright spot.
Yeah. What if he all of a sudden hits? I mean, how as a team do you handle that now? Brandon Codrington, again, let's argue for argument's sake, he hits, or LaVisca Chenault does, because it looks like they're going to maybe have a competition there. Do you take maybe the big return from him, or do you put Josh Allen at the 35? Or, as Sal put it, do you want to try to get super accurate and roll that baby out of bounds, take it at the 20?
But football's also, after the first bounce, you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, you have no idea. You can't.
That's the thing with football. Mm-hmm. The first bounce is predictable. Second bounce? No.
But that strategic mindset already gets me excited where it's like, By week five, Codrington's hitting and Allen's the reigning MVP. What do you want?
Let's look at the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bass, who I think after the moonshot against Miami was much better.
Yep, not great, but much better. That's right.
Like, but he was markedly better. Like, he was not a cut candidate at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he closed his season. Matter of fact, you know, in the playoffs, he did his job, one might even say. What does it do for him? Because there's already, you know, not great opinions, if I go out on the street and say something about, like, Tyler Bass, what do you think?
Yeah.
I'm getting a mixed opinion. If he's not able to make it skilled, or if he's a guy that, is, like, he has to just moonshot the football into the end zone, what does it do for him? If he's not able to do this,
I think what does it do for a lot of kickers? Like, you're right to bring him up because it all of a sudden goes to, hey, I'm great at making field goals. I can't do anything on the kickoff.
And then do you need to waste a roster spot? Not just the Bills, any team. Do you need to waste a roster spot on a kickoff specialist that can do this?
Ooh. I think that's also where.
Or do you use maybe a punter?
Maybe use a punter. Or does all of a sudden we have to use draft picks on punters or kickers?
That can do this.
That can do this and do it at a high level.
And by the way, that's not a trait that you're teaching at the college level.
No.
That's not a play you're learning in college.
Yeah, it's going to be curious.
Because college football has not adopted kickoff rules. So not only are you drafting players and trying to invest in kickers, you're then trying to teach them. Any new kicker coming into the league has to learn an entirely new skill set. Because even up to last year, it's, can you blast the football out of the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, you're safe.
We're all right.
Teams will always take the points. Like, if you can kick field goals at a high rate, we're taking you. We'll deal with the kickoff. But if it does become a thing where, hey,
if it's that bad,
you cannot kick it to that kick returner, and they're not great at that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then are you going to just tell them to go to the 35?
Then realistically, we're going to get another rule change where it's like, hey, you can actually have like three guys who are kicking specialists. It doesn't take up a roster spot.
Yes.
And like, that'll bother me.
That's an interesting impact that could be seen for a longer term sense if things do work out that way. I am a pessimist still. Like I said, you guys changed my mind on what the interest could be for me. I'm also still a pessimist of somehow this fun idea is going to be muddled down and kind of irrelevant.
Well, no, and I think you bring up a great point with that, though, of like coaches, you know, quote unquote, taking away the fun because it might hurt them.
Yes.
And yeah, last year, the kickoff kind of was ultimately meaningless. It looked different. It was different.
All those new rules we were given explanation of. And who's the team that lets up the first big play on a kick return?
Oh, yeah, love that one. Love that. Love that.
Matthew Smiley and the Buffalo Bills.
I want this to hit so bad.
Yes.
Because there were teams not that long ago that lived and died by special teams. Their offenses weren't good enough, but because their special teams were good,
the Chicago Bears back in the day made a Super Bowl because of the impact that their defense and special teams made.
They had Rex Grossman at quarterback. But Devin Hester was returning kicks, and that defense was great, and they ran that to the Super Bowl.
They went to the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman was a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl.
And a part of me, it's sort of my same issue with basketball, mainly the NBA, college not so much, but where the NFL, yes, it's always teeter towards, hey, you need a quarterback to get far, but there was always that one or two teams every 10 years that, no, we have a great defense, or we have, you know, that just a dynamic weapon that can get us there. Maybe not win a Super Bowl, but be really darn good for a long time. The NBA sort of hit that point, too, where if you don't have a great three-point shooting team, you might be good, but you're probably not going to be great. You need to be able to shoot the ball unless you have a Nikola Jokic, where he's maybe the greatest big man of all time.
Yeah.
And a lot of NBA games have become very stale. It's a three-point shooting contest for a lot of those games.
For a lot of games. And that's where, like, that interesting, like, ideal about kickers transitioning with this new rule in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a different game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there are teams that play small ball, play it deep, three-point shooting teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of them.
No.
In the NBA, it's all of them.
It has to be. And it has to be. When it was just the Warriors, and to a lesser argument, like teams like Houston, who were big offensive teams, it was radical. Now it's the norm. And you see it, too, at the lower levels where kids are just chucking up threes, and you're like, okay, what are we doing here? Yeah, what are we doing here?
But in college, you still play basketball.
Because you maybe don't have the athletes. A lot of mid-majors have to play small ball. They don't got 2 7-foot-tall guys to play center.
Right, but then there are your majors, your big teams. They have these. Mm-hmm. They have this size, and they're like, we can play big on you.
Yeah,
let's go.
But it's just I want that different element to an NFL game.
Yes,
to bring it back, to make it more exciting. Yeah, to make the kickoff where you got to stay in your seat. You got to stay in your seat and watch this through.
It's not – because that's what they did with the extra point. The mm-hmm. extra point was an automatic play.
Oh, 100%.
Except for and when it was a miss, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
The biggest one being John Carney when the Saints went to tie it up on a lateral play, and Carney misses the extra point.
Yes.
I'll never forget that play. But that's one of the few times you remember an extra point back in the day.
That was really – yep.
That's it. That's the only reason you could. Now – extra points being missed is, I'm not going to say it's not common, but it's not rare.
Yeah, no, you're no longer now surprised when it happens.
Like, you're like, and I mean, we've seen it enough here. It gets, like, it's like, come on! And yep. But then you look around the league and go, other guys are doing it too, actually.
It is happening. Now, what's weird, though, while that is, it hasn't, like, the longer field goal percentage gone up? Like, guys are hitting more, like, 55-plus yard field goals, but it's the extra point misses that have also gone up.
Yes.
So it is that weird kind of dichotomy of, like, really?
Yep.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't.
I want another element. I think as well, too, for some guys' careers. I was a big LaVisca Chenault guy when he was coming out of Colorado.
Yes. I remember.
And ultimately, he has not become any sort of the player I thought he'd be. But he has really carved out a really good career as a special teamer. Cordell Patterson, the same thing.
Same career arc had happened to him.
He was a talented receiver coming out of college, never really became it. But he was a really good return guy. Ultimately, actually became a really good running back, too, by the way, which is weird.
Oddly enough.
But
his career arc is fascinating,
But even then, Cordell Patterson has some numbers that put him above guys like Devin Hester. But in the era he plays, he doesn't have the big plays that Hester had. So correct. He's not remembered as fondly. I would love if that changed where all of a sudden you did see guys have these great, memorable. There's no reason Devin Hester's remembered if you look at it through the lens of the modern NFL.
Yes.
But in the era he played, of course he is.
And it was funny because he followed up Dante Hall.
Yeah.
Josh Cribbs was threatening to be one of those guys for a long time.
But there's no reason you can rattle off 3 return guys. When you look at it, the scope of the modern NFL, yes. That is wild. And so I want that element back because it is fun. And it does make random stars out of these guys where you're like, really? Okay.
Yes.
We ride. And it adds a different element to teams to deal with, to have. It's not just, do you have a quarterback, do you not? I think that can get very boring very quickly. I really think it can. Where even the Bills, we're sitting here, maybe they need a receiver. Not really. Their quarterback's great. He just won the MVP without Diggs. His leading receiver was Khalil Shakir. His best rookie receiver was out for 4 games. Amari Cooper was traded. Didn't really do too much. Matt Collins let him in touchdown catches. The quarterback means everything.
Everything now.
And that's where I'm watching a lot of baseball because I've got the MLB network plan, so I can watch every game. And I'm keeping up with the Angels, 4-1, by the way. 2 straight games winning in extra innings. They finally had clutch hitting, Derek. But so on that point.
You are in for such a letdown.
Such a letdown. But on that point, like, there's different ways to win baseball games. Like, the Yankees are just raking. They're just hitting home run after home run after home run. They lost last night.
They've armed themselves with torpedoes, and it's working.
Yeah. Where the Angels are 4-1, they're winning off sack flies and stuff that. And their bullpen pulling it out. You know, there's different ways to win where in football, it does feel like we're even leaving that era where, hey, no, like, you know, 2000 Ravens, 85 Bears, they can win you Super Bowls. It feels like we're getting away from that because no one can see Gary Collins or Trent Dilfer making a Super Bowl ever again. That feels insane.
As a matter of fact, you look at the playoff teams. Who's got a guy who doesn't?
And it very quickly leads to, I mean.
Your top 8 teams in the AFC, only Pittsburgh was a team that you looked at and you go, yeah, they don't have one.
And by the time they got in the playoffs, everyone was like, oh, God, why? And you even look at that, too. We added a team. Yeah. We're now at 7 instead of 6.
And your eighth seed was a guy that, you know, he is a better quarterback within this league. So if Cincy and Pittsburgh are flip-flopped, for example, then your top seven teams are guys that have quarterbacks or teams that have quarterbacks. In the NFC, Goff, Hurts, Mayfield, Stafford, even though he is still, like, even though he's up there, he still is a better player. He's still a good quarterback. Daniels.
Yep.
Darnold.
Darnold's 4,000-yard passer.
Randomly popping off.
Yep.
Jordan Love is considered to be a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I just named half the league, and half the league have guys.
Yeah, so they're the ones that make the playoffs. They're the ones that go on these runs.
And if J.J. McCarthy is anything decent,
guess what?
The Vikings then stay. And if Darnold isn't a flash in the pan, that's Seattle at the 8 in the NFC.
I'd argue that's half the reason why people talk about this draft class like it's bad. It's because the quarterback class isn't very good. Where in reality, like for the, I think for the Bills, this draft class is wonderful because it's a lot of defensive guys, which they need on their team.
And when you have an elite quarterback, it really sharpens and kind of like keeps your status somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good quarterback, it does come down to the rest of the composition of your team.
Yep.
Because there are other teams that have good quarterbacks, but not great. You look at an Arizona, San Francisco, Dallas.
Look at the Eagles.
They have teams, and the Eagles, that roster was so complete. Mm-hmm. That's how you make the difference from having a good quarterback and not a great quarterback is the rest of the roster. But if you have a great quarterback, you're kind of solidified now.
Yeah, like you're good really until that guy hits his plateau or just falls off a cliff. 803-0550, the number to call. Do you want to get to some stuff from last night and heading into tonight as well? UB Women in action against Cleveland State, 6 p.m. tip-off in the NIT Final Four, Fab Four. That game's going to be on ESPN Plus on television, but here, the bet 15-20 as they look to make the championship game, which will be on a Saturday. Do have a potential to host that game after tonight if they can pack the arena. We'll talk a little bit about that, also some other things as well, as we continue on with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.